While standing alongside President Obama yesterday, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said the House of Representatives will have a health care reform bill to vote on by the end of July. Details are few and far between in what the bill will look like, and just as importantly, how it will be paid for. Yesterday, we spoke with New York Times business columnist David Leonhard, who wrote about the issue in Wednesday's Times. In addition to raising taxes, Leonhard suggests cutting health care spending as a way to raise more revenue to pay for the reform. But a study to investigate medical effectiveness is being resisted by the insurance companies. Leonhard says why.
They're against it because right now, insurance companies, medical device makers, pharmaceutical companies, doctors, all make a lot of money from medical care that is wasteful, medical care that doesn't actually make us healthier. Our system pays people for the quantity of care they provide, not the quality. Comparative effectiveness research attempts to get us away from that. It attempts to say, look, is there really any difference between this brand new pill and this generic pill? Maybe the brand new pill costs $10 a pill and the generic one costs $1 a pill. Let's do a study and let's see, wait a second, they have the same effect. So what we should say to people is we're willing to pay for the $1 pill. If you want the $10 pill, you got to go pay for it for yourself. You're welcome to, but we're not going to subsidize that as taxpayers. The industry doesn't like this because it's going to cut into their revenue. Of course, that's not what they say. What they say is that it's going to lead to rationing, it's going to hurt minority groups, it's going to hurt people who have rare diseases. And the fact is you can design a comparative effectiveness approach that is very careful about those things. It may not be perfect, but right now we have massive amounts of waste in our system. It really hurts taxpayers. It really helps the medical industry, and the medical industry is going to fight to keep it, and they're not going to fight to keep it by saying they're fighting to keep their profits and their revenue. They're going to fight by saying that it's really in our interest to keep paying for wasteful health spending.
The other possibility that you mentioned is that, and you write, we need to begin thinking about whether health care reform is possible, even if some significant number of people remain uninsured. What might that actually look like, or can you even foresee that?
There are two problems here. The first is that we have 50 million uninsured people in this country, which makes us the only rich industrialized country in the world that has a large number of uninsured people. And the second problem is that we spend so much money on healthcare relative to every other country, and we're not healthier than people in other countries. And as I've just been saying, we have a lot of wasteful spending. These are really separate problems. They're connected because one of the reasons why it's so hard to cover everyone is because our healthcare system is so expensive. But what costs money, well, the reason why healthcare reform is expensive is the covering of the uninsured. If it turns out that Congress and the administration can't get to a point where they can come up with enough money, $100, $125, maybe even $150 billion a year, to cover the uninsured, then to me what healthcare reform would look like is something more modest that provides subsidies that cover some number of the uninsured, but something that is still very aggressive about getting rid of some of this wasteful medical spending, not having this fee-for-service system, but having a more rational system. And really, then you do that, and it's actually easier to get all the way to universal insurance down the road, because when healthcare costs are lower, the costs of covering the uninsured are lower as well.